The Bible tells us that some people are going to stand before God one day, and they are going to think that they're on their way into heaven, and they're not. And I can see that. Yeah, I can see people being religious, you know, their entire life and coming from all different kinds of religions, even within Christianity, and saying, God, I know you. The Bible tells us that God's going to look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. They will profess Jesus, but God doesn't know them. They will think that they're on their way to heaven, and they will be shut out. Now, I can't think of a more scary thing. I cannot think of a worse thing than for that to be true of someone here this morning. That you may think you are on your way to heaven, that you're ready to go. When you stand in the presence of God, God will say, I don't even know you. See, there are those who profess to know Jesus but really don't. And they don't know it. There are those who profess to know Jesus and they know it's a fake. They know they don't know God. They know they're just going through the motions and their heart is really not right with God. And there's many reasons why someone might do that, but that happens. And then there are those who profess to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and He really is their Savior. And they know that. And they know that if they died this very moment, they would be in heaven with God. The question is, where are you? Where are you this morning? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you have confirmation of your relationship with God? Well, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says that there are ways in which we can figure that out. That we can test ourselves, and we ought to test ourselves to make sure that we know God. So I wonder this morning, have you ever tested your faith? Now, last week we began that test and we looked at four questions that you can ask yourself to find out whether you really know God or not. Let me review those questions real quick this morning. Question number one, am I walking in the light? Am I walking in the light? In other words, are you living a life that's obedient to God? Yeah, I don't care how much you profess to know Jesus. If your life is not obedient to God, that profession is a lie. Question number two. Do I confess my sin? In other words, do you have an understanding that you are a sinner and that you have confessed that sin to God and you've gotten your life right with God? You've gotten His forgiveness. Number three, do I love Christians? Do I love Christians? Do you love those who name and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ? Number four, do I love the world? You know, are you taken up with this world? You got to have all the new stuff. You got to have all the gadgets. You got to have the things. You know, you're more caught up with this world than you are with God. If we were to look at your life and we would put it under a microscope, would we see God kind of popping in once in a while, but your life is full of the world? Well, the Bible says you don't know God. You're not a believer in Christ. Now, let me give you question number five. I'm going to give you three this morning. Question number five. Ask yourself this. Am I continuing in the faith? Am I continuing in the faith? All the questions we're looking at are from the book of 1 John. And this one comes in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18 and 19. Look at it with me. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even though many Antichrists have come, this is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going show that none of them belonged to us. if someone is truly a Christian, if you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, it's real, it is vibrant, it is there, then there may be times of disobedience in your life. But you will not walk away from Jesus Christ permanently and forever. One author put it this way: those whose faith is genuine never totally or finally fall away from Christ. True believers will persevere. Professing Christians who turn against the Lord only prove that they never truly were saved. You know, it's an age-old question among churches. You get the guy in church and he's professing Christ, he's living for God, he's even doing things in the church. Maybe he's been a Sunday school teacher, maybe he's been a deacon, and you know, he's talking about Christ. He may have even led people to Christ. But somewhere along the line, he just kind of walked away. Somewhere along the line, he said to himself, he may have said to others, but he's certainly seen in his life, he just wanted nothing more to do with Jesus Christ. And he walked away. The question is, was this a guy who knew God, had a relationship with God, is born again, and lost that salvation? Or is this a guy who never really knew God to begin with? Was a pretender all along? Was a false professor all along? His life was never real. Which was he? Well, read with me again verse 19. Listen. They went out from us, but they really did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. In other words, if someone professes Jesus Christ as their Savior and they walk away from God, what does it show? It shows that they never really belonged to us. They never really were a Christian. In fact, skip down with me to verse 24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. In other words, if it doesn't remain in you, if God's teaching doesn't continue with you, it doesn't remain in you, if you walk away from it, never really knew God. Let me give you a couple examples. In the Bible, we have a guy who followed God. I mean, he followed God. And he was trusted by everybody else around him. And this guy was so trusted by everybody else around him as being a true believer, a follower of God. You know what they did? They made him the treasurer. And they said, we know this guy knows God. We know this guy loves Jesus. We know we can trust this guy. So let's give him all the money because he's a true follower of God. See, everything that they saw in this guy made him look like a believer. Everything this guy did that could be seen made him look like a believer. But the reality was that there was never any reality in his heart. See, the same guy is the guy who walked away from Jesus. In fact, he's the guy who came and kissed Jesus and betrayed him. His name is Judas, as I'm sure you already figured out. See, everything about his life made everybody around him think, yes, this guy's a follower of God. But there was no reality in his heart. He left us. Why? Because he never really belonged to us. He didn't lose what he had. The reality is he never even had it to begin with. In fact, turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. Let me show you another example, and this one's out of Jesus' own words. Matthew chapter 13. Beginning in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. So some people hear the gospel, they hear the word of God, but as soon as they hear it, they walk away. Satan comes and he snatches the truth out of their heart. Well, we know that this guy clearly never knew God because he never began. He never did anything. He never took what he heard and ran with it. He's the unresponsive heart. He's the hard heart. I'm sure you know somebody like that. Somebody hears the word of God, but they right up front say, hey, you know, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't believe that stuff. You're a nut. Get away from me. Yeah, you know, we know those kinds of people, and that's what Jesus says here. Look, sometimes they hear the word, but that's it. It stops right there. But I want you to notice there's a second guy here in Jesus' parable. Verse 20. The one who received the seed that fell along the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, notice, he quickly falls away. You know, this is a guy that he hears the word of God, he says, this is great! Man, this is what I've been waiting to hear, this is what I wanted to learn. Man, this stuff is fantastic, man, this is exciting. I want to be one of you. He may walk an aisle, he may raise a hand, he may tell people around and make a phone call and say, hey, you know what? I received Jesus and this is so exciting. Man, I just can't wait to begin reading my Bible and going to church and praying. This is so exciting. Then Jesus says, you know what? Some people like this, they fall away. Well, what did it show? It showed that they never really belonged to us. This is the superficial heart. You know, the response is an immediate response. It's a response with joy, but there's no reality in the heart. So what happens? They fall away because they never knew God. In fact, there's another guy like this in the parable. Notice down in verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the words of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke it, making it unfruitful. This is the worldly heart. You know, the worldly heart comes to Jesus. They want to be saved. They hear the words. They make the profession. But then they begin thinking, you know what? If I live for God, it means I can't do this. And if I live for God, well, I better not do that anymore. And if I live for God, then maybe I can't do the job the way I've been doing the job because you know what? I've been lying, I've been stealing, I've been cheating. Well, maybe this God thing isn't really that good. And after a while, they just walk away. And there's no reality. See, how do I know if someone's truly saved? Well, I can look at their life, and their life just continues to live for Jesus. And again, there may be times of disobedience, and that is true of physical children, but the reality is they have a lifestyle of living for God and following God and doing what God wants them to do, and that continues all the way through. We say, well, wait a minute, if that's one of the signs that someone is a Christian, someone is a believer, then doesn't that mean I have to look at their life over a period of time to find out if their profession is real or not? Yes. Yes. Because someone can live the Christian life, make the profession, look like a Christian, but in reality, sooner or later they walk away from Jesus because they really don't know him. And that's exactly what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. If I may paraphrase him, he says, look, be careful. Because some come and they look like the truth, but they're really workers of deceit. They're really Satan's workers. But what they do is they try to look the part. They try to look the Christian. They try to look the preacher. But beware, because there's no reality. In fact, we have another example in John chapter 6. in John, John said, look, there were a whole bunch of people following Jesus, and he even calls them disciples. But when Jesus began to talk about his death, John chapter 6, verse 66, it said all these disciples walked away. Why? Because they didn't want a Savior who would die for them. They wanted a Savior who would overthrow the Roman government. So they walked away because their profession was not real. Paul talked about a guy when he was going through some real tough times in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, you know what? I'm near the end of my life. I'm like a drink offering. I'm already being poured out, and I know I'm going to die. He said, you know what? Everyone deserted me. Even a guy by the name of Demas. Paul said, because he loved this world so much, he walked away from me and he walked away from God. See, if you're truly saved, if you're truly a born again, if you really are a Christian, you will continue to live for Jesus. It is a reality of someone who is saved. Someone walks away, they never return, they never come back. The Bible says they never really were a Christian, never really were saved. Question number 6. Does the world have a hard time understanding me? Does the world have a hard time understanding me? Notice 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. John says that the world does not know us because it does not know him. In fact, there are other passages where he even goes on further than that and says, you know what? The world hates us. Not meaning that every single person in the world is going to hate Christians, but it is just the reality of living in this world that they hate our morality, they hate our priorities, they hate our way of life. Children of God and children of the devil just don't fit together. Let me ask you this morning. Do you feel more comfortable with non-Christians than you do with Christians? If you were in two groups of people, do you feel more comfortable being around believers or do you feel more comfortable being around non-believers? When you're in a group of non-believers, do they have a hard time understanding who you are? I mean, do you talk and you talk about living your Christian life and being a Christian and they look at you and say, I don't get that. Where's your heart? You know, when I get in a group of people that like the Dallas Cowboys, I just don't fit. I mean, we just sit down and talk, and all I want to talk about is the Steelers. All I want to do is talk about, you know, Steelers winning championships and, you know, Steelers this, Steelers that. And I just don't fit in a group of Dallas Cowboy wannabes. Because I'm a Steeler fan. Just like a Cowboy fan might not fit in with a bunch of Steeler fans. Just, you know, we talk about different things. Who do you fit in with? Where does your morality fit? Where do your priorities fit? Where do your goals and dreams fit? Jesus stood on the earth. He constantly ran into problems, especially with religious people. And constantly they were, you know, they were attacking Jesus and fighting with Jesus. And he said, you know what? The reason this is happening is because you don't know my Father. If you knew him, he said, you would know me. But because you don't know him, you don't know me. In fact, you don't even understand me. They never did quite understand Jesus. His morals were different. His priorities were different. His desires were different. His whole life was different. If your morals and your priorities and your way of life and your way of thinking fits in with this world, you really need to get alone with God and ask yourself, where's my heart? Now, I am not saying that you shouldn't be around non-Christians. You ought to be. I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, reach out to your friends, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have unsafe friends or friends who are not Christians. You ought to. In fact, you ought to be doing everything you can to lead them to Christ. The issue is, do they understand who you are and do you fit in? Question number 7. Do I have the Spirit's witness? Do I have the Spirit's witness? Skip down with me to verse 21 of chapter 3. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And we receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, to love one another as he has commanded. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Do I have the Spirit's witness? Here's the issue. Down in the depths of your heart, does God speak to your heart, not verbally, but there's a sense within your heart that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior and is your Lord? See, if you know there's only one way to heaven and it's through Jesus, if you know the only way you can have a relationship with God is to place your faith in what Christ did on the cross, and knowing that, you have received Christ in your life, and you reach the point where you knew that you needed him because you're a sinner, and you've asked him to become your Savior. When you do that, these verses are telling us that the Holy Spirit comes to live within our life and he becomes a witness to our heart. That you can sit back and say, I know God. I have a relationship with Jesus. And if I died this moment, I would go to heaven. What does your heart tell you? Does your heart look at your life and say, I know I'm not? You know, everyone can look at you and you can even fake everybody else around you. But when you look in the depths of your own life, does God's Spirit witness you and say, you're one of my children? Or does your own heart give it away and say, you know what? I really don't know him. My life doesn't show it. I haven't really placed my trust in him. I'm really just going through the motions, but I really don't know God. Now, we've already seen that some people can have a false profession and a false belief. But I'm talking to those of you who are here this morning. You say, look, I know there's only one way to heaven. I know that way is Jesus Christ. I know in order to get there, you have to place your faith and trust in the cross. But you would also say this morning that I know within my heart I never really did that. So I know I'm really not a Christian. Would you bow your heads right now? Close your eyes. And I would ask you right now, just get along with God. I know there's people sitting around you, but get along with God.
Does God speak to your heart right now that it's real? Or are there doubts? I think if you're truly a Christian and you sin, there will be doubts. That's a reality. Because you realize what your sin is. But are there doubts that you really know God? If there are, you need to settle it right now. You need to make it real. Just tell God, I'm a sinner. And I need you. I believe that Jesus took my place on the cross. I believe that he died, was buried, and he rose again for my sin. And right now, I ask him to be my Savior. I'm going to turn from my sin and I'm going to live for him. Make it real. Don't get to heaven and say, God, I know you, and have him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Make it real. What a shame it would be if you came to this church and still go to hell. Dear God, I pray for every soul here this morning. And I pray, Father, that one single person would walk out this door this morning without knowing you. I pray for the salvation of every person here. And I pray, Lord, that they would turn to you. Let no one walk out without knowing you. For we pray in Jesus' name.